The scripture reading for this morning is Isaiah 2, 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to see it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us of his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. And out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord of Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord."
So this is the season of Advent. And Advent, as Sandra pointed out, it's about something big coming up. Big coming up, and it's something we're preparing for and anticipating in our lives, in God's church, and in the world. This morning's passage was not just about Jerusalem and Judah, but it was about all nations streaming to God. So, since this morning, we're beginning a focus on the movements of worship. And the first one we'll explore this morning is the first movement of worship, being drawn together by God. Now, when I think about being drawn together by God, the first thing I think of is a sidewalk caricature artist drawing all of us together as a picture, or a group photograph. Is that what we're talking about? No, that's not what we're talking about. The movement of God is about God actually drawing us together by some force, by some compelling love, by some compelling reason, by some movement of ourselves to the place where we come together and worship God. Now, being drawn together by God is not going to make sense for those who do not think God is real. It's not going to make sense to think in terms of being drawn together by God. Isn't going to make sense if God isn't real, right? Doesn't that make sense? It does make sense that that would be the case. All right. So, and there are some of us who may be at that place, and faith is two sides of the same coin. Faith is having belief, but also having doubt. And it comes together. And it's actually being faithful to say, "Is God real?" And that's a faithful question to ask. That may sound ironic. How can it be faithful to say, "God, are you real?" Well, it's faithful because we're asking. It's those who don't ask who are not even in a phase of curiosity or of wondering or being drawn into the question. So I want to pray for those of us who wonder whether God is real. Because to explore this idea of being drawn together by God, to worship God, if we don't think God is real, this doesn't make any sense. I'd like to pray for all those who are at that place of struggling whether God is real. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you so much that you give us the courage when we're at those places and wonder whether you're real. It may be for some of us who are really struggling in life, maybe things are not going well, maybe we're out of a job, maybe our marriage isn't going well, maybe in school we're struggling. God, we're asking you now, are you real? Would you show us your presence and power? Would you open up our hearts, our minds, our souls, whole being, that we may discover more profoundly the reality the depth of your love, the truth of your presence and power that is more real than the rising of the sun and the moon in the sky. We give you thanks, God, as you do this with us. So that there comes a day when we can say, God, you're not only real, but I want to know you. Thank you, God. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Now, being drawn together by God also doesn't make any sense if you've never experienced or encountered the Holy Spirit, the power of God who is real. Because you see, if God is real, then God's power is real. God's presence is real. And so if you've never experienced God, or you've never experienced the Holy Spirit, or experienced the power of God, or some movement, or some sense of depth of love beyond yourself, and that you knew was divine, if you've never experienced that, then this idea of being drawn together by God isn't going to make any sense. And there are many of us who are at that place, who though we may believe, yeah, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is what we say when we're here, but I've never encountered or known, I don't have a relationship, I don't understand what that Holy Spirit is. Some people even call it the Holy Ghost. Woo-hoo! Right? Anybody watch Casper, the Friendly Ghost, growing up? All right. So, you know, there's a friendly ghost and there are the unfriendly ghosts. And this whole idea of some spirit thing gets a little out into the zone, you know, into Twilight Zone. Anybody watch that show? Yeah. All right. So, if we don't have any experience with the Holy Spirit or encounter an experience of God, this isn't going to make any sense, being drawn together by God to worship God. So I want to pray for those. And believe me, there are many of us who at different times in our lives, we go, yeah, you know what, God is real, and Jesus was real, Jesus came, he uses my Savior even. But I really haven't felt his presence, or I doubt his power right now. The Holy Spirit is ever even going to be part of my life. And I want to pray for those of us who come to that place. Holy God, thank you so much that you give us the courage to ask whether not only are you real, but is your power real? Is it something that I can actually experience in my life, and not just for myself, but in relationship with others, that I can experience healing, that I can experience wholeness, I can experience healing someone else through your power, and that I can feel and know your love with me and your bond through the reality of the Holy Spirit. God, help us to know this reality. And as we have any, as we doubt whether there is a Holy Spirit, or even if we know there is one but haven't experienced it, God, open our hearts, our minds, our souls, that we may know, and that we may experience and be profoundly moved to be growing in partnership with the Holy Spirit, to learn who the Holy Spirit is, how the Holy Spirit moves and works, how I can cooperate with it in my life. Thank you, God. In the name of the Father, Son, and yes, the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. So for the rest of us, being drawn together by God, it makes sense only for those who are being drawn together by God. And there are a lot of gray areas. But the truth is, it only makes sense for those of us who are actually being drawn together by God. And Adam and Eve experienced it in the voice to the garden, calling out to them, "Where are you?" They were drawn together by God, even from a place of fear, of shame, of hiding. Abraham knows it. He experienced it in being called out of his land where he lived to a new land called Canaan. When he arrived there, God said, I'm going to give this land to all of your offspring, and they will be greater than the stars you see in the sky. Being drawn by God makes sense to Abraham. Being drawn by God makes sense to the people that came after Abraham, who were part of his family, who were living in Egypt under slavery. A man named Moses was drawn by God to gather them up and to lead them out of the promise, out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery, and to be led by God into the wilderness, into the promised land. It makes sense to them that being drawn by God is a powerful, powerful part of their life. It makes sense. It makes sense to those who knew that something was coming, that they were given the promised land not just to live in and to enjoy the honey and the fruits off the trees and to have a nice place for their sheep to forage, but this was the place from out of which would come, as Isaiah said, a wonderful prince, a mighty counselor, the everlasting God. Makes sense to them. And they, like us, are anticipating the coming more profoundly and deeply, not just of a second coming, but through each one of us as we grow more and more like him, of the reality of the Messiah, of Jesus on the planet. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy way come about. And it is. It's on the way. It makes sense for those of us who wait in anticipation, kneeling at the manger, knowing a birth is coming. It made sense to the fishermen by the shore, whom the master said, come and follow me. Even though all their livelihood depended on them staying there, even though their family were there, even though their father relied on them for the family income, even though this was their hometown, even though their wife and family lived in their homes, Jesus said, come, follow me. It made sense to them. And at some point, maybe it makes sense to you and to us that we're being drawn by God. And not just to worship him, but to become like him in character. And that our lives are never, ever, ever, ever the same. How are you being moved? How are you being drawn? What has God up to? That he's drawing you here now. What does he have to say this morning? And how is he drawing you in your life? That you might worship him more profoundly, even these days leading in Christmas. And you feel it? Do you know it? How's it drawing?